welcome you to our Lord's Day service, and we hope that the service is a blessing to you. We want to wish all the dads in our congregation a very blessed and happy Father's Day. We're celebrating that today. We're also celebrating with our African-American family Juneteenth. And if you've never heard of Juneteenth, I explain it at the back of the bulletin. You can bring it home with you. Don't do it now. It's a wonderful holiday, and it became a national holiday just last year, but it's been celebrated for centuries. We want to welcome Kathy Sears, who just rendered us a beautiful solo. Kathy is the daughter of Eunice Rutherford. Kathy was raised in this church, has a beautiful voice, and the hymns that she's singing and the hymn that we're going to be singing in the service are Eunice's favorite. So we're so delighted that she and her family are here. On July 10th, please mark your calendars, at 2 p.m., we were going to have a musical celebration for Joan Lewis, featuring Colin Welford, Cindy Steele, and I will be participating as well. Would you stand with me as we sing hymn number 456, This Is My Father's World.
Our first scripture lesson is taken from the book of Psalms, chapter 22. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion, from the horns of the wild oxen. You have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who reverence the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Our second lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Galatians. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. Our third lesson is taken from the Gospel according to Luke. Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As Jesus stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him, but was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. So he went away, proclaiming through the city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. If thou
Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Since arriving here some 12 years ago, I learned something of the culture. Germanic and Scandinavian folks like to keep themselves very tightly wrapped. There's little emotion. They really try to be very normal in the way they come across. And so when life goes crazy, when sorrow comes, they keep their emotions in tight control. And I think part of that is because they know when if you go out of control, you might not get it back. Now, in the culture I came from, that was not the case. And so at a funeral, if you were in my neck of the woods back east, you could hear significant wailing. You'd never hear that here. I remember as a child going to a funeral, and as the family is coming in back of the casket, they're shrieking and crying. Well, it was very Italian. But what was interesting was the minute they got into the pews, everything stopped. Everything was quiet. The service went on, folks were fine, and then the minute the last hymn happened and they're walking out, they start screaming again. It was very liturgical. But we don't like to show our emotions, and when someone says, how are you, we say, fine, thank you, even if inside there's turmoil. We all have what we might call inner demons, those things that press in against us, and some are more obvious than others. But we do try to keep that under wraps. We want to be in control of ourselves. And some cultures are more in control than others. And then we come to the story today where the man in this story is completely out of control. He's not only not tightly wrapped, he's completely unhinged to the point that he's not even comfortable in his own skin. And if someone tries to put clothes on him, he tears them off because he's so uncomfortable. They try to chain him, and he's so violent that he's able to tear away from the chains. This is a man who's completely unwrapped. And so the townspeople try their best to keep him from harming himself and others by trying to keep him in chains. And so he goes to the only place that he knows where he will be left alone, and that's in the graveyard. Nobody wants to go to the graveyard because this man is so wild. And then one day, he meets Jesus. Now, what's so interesting about this story is that Jesus had no business going to this land. There was nothing there for him. Nobody asked him to go. It was outside of Jewish territory, but he happens to arrive. And when this man sees him, most people who are in trouble in the Bible will go to Jesus and say, please help me. Not this guy. In fact, Jesus had already said to the demons inside him, get out. And he said, no, I don't want them to get out. You know, sometimes when we are in distress, even though part of us says we want help, the other part says, no, I want to wrap this right around myself. I'm in despair and I'm in gloom. Don't try to talk me out of it. And so he asked the man his name, and he said, it's Legion, for we are many. And you know the rest of the story, and that's the dramatic part of the story. And sometimes we forget that the most dramatic part were not the pigs running down into the river and getting drowned. It was not that spectacle. That kind of showed the townspeople's values, because what happened? They said, get out, because Jesus' miracle had affected their livelihood. But that wasn't the great part of the story. It was when they found this man who had been healed sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, when they talk about sitting at a master's feet, they were talking about people who were students who would sit at the rabbi's feet to learn from him. We read that when Jesus visited Mary and Martha's house, and Mary sat at Jesus' feet. And so that was the position he had taken, because he was receiving instruction. He was listening to Jesus. This man who could not tolerate any kind of sound from anyone, who lived in the tombs, who lived in isolation, all of a sudden he's sitting there listening to Jesus. And he was sane. He was in his right mind. And he was fully clothed. He was no longer unhappy with his own skin. He could don clothing and sit and listen at Jesus' feet. What a marvelous picture that is. That there is nothing beyond the scope of God's love and God's power. There was a story that my mother told me. In the 1960s, her pastor called her, and he said, I have been requested to go to a psychiatric facility. And he said the request was very strange, because they don't want the pastor to come. They don't want any men going there. They need a woman to go. It's a young lady who's been in the psychiatric facility, and a relative asked that somebody from the church go. And so the pastor had called down the list of women, and he started probably with the most prominent woman, probably with a lay person who was of great virtue of the church, and every single woman said no. And I'm sure they gave good excuses, you know, got to shampoo my hair that day. Or I'm just not gifted in that. And he got to my mother and said, Celia, I am desperate. I've called every other woman in the church. Well, now she knew where she was in the pecking order. And he said, this woman really needs a visit. Would you go? Well, Mom had no experience in that. But because the pastor asked and because he was desperate, she went. And she brought a flower from the garden with her to this young lady who was in such desperate straits in the psychiatric ward in the hospital. And she sat with this young lady, introduced herself, and this lady was absolutely silent, would not speak, would barely make eye contact. And Mom tried to engage her in conversation, nothing doing. So finally, my mother's trying to figure out a way to connect with her, and she said to her, you know, when my children are upset and frightened, I tell them to do one thing, to whisper the name of Jesus, and Jesus will come and help them. And at that point, the young lady established eye contact, and her eyes spoke volume of disdain. Utter scorn. Still didn't say a word. So my mother got up, said her goodbyes, and left, and thought she would never, ever do that ever again. She didn't care how much the pastor begged. About a year later, she got a call from the relative of this woman, and she said, "I have been looking for you for a long time, that your pastor forgot who finally came to see this young lady." She said, one day, she was in the common area in the psychiatric hospital surrounded by guys, and these men were saying horrible things to her, ugly things, explicit things. And it was getting so bad, she didn't know what to do, and then she remembered my mother's words. And so she whispered the name of Jesus. And she said when she did that, there was silence in that room. And she thought, this is real. What that lady said was real. She said soon after, she was out of that hospital. She's employed. She's doing well. Because she whispered the name of Jesus. You know, folks, there is nothing and no part of our lives that God cannot heal. And so when we're in turmoil, we might be tightly wrapped on the outside. We might not be like that man who was just completely unhinged, but we know that inside we're unhinged and that we need help. And that help comes from the Lord. When that man was fully clothed, it reminded me of that verse in Galatians that Rob read that says that we are fully clothed in Jesus. That means that all the grace of Jesus clothes us. All the love of Jesus clothes us. All the mercy of God is within us and without us. And we are fully clothed in Jesus. And so the next time you have to stay tightly wrapped, remember to whisper that name above all names. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful for your mercy and grace. We are so grateful that you clothe us from head to toe with your mercy, with your grace, with your love. And that there is no situation that you cannot touch. And so we ask this day that you will grant us your peace and that we might know your mercy in that time of distress. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. reconciliation found in your hymnal.
Almighty God, enthroned above all, you alone are God, over the nations of the earth. Even the planets, the stars, and the galaxies are placed by your hand.
Where can we go from your spirit? Where can we flee from your presence? If we go up to the heavens, you are there. If we go down into the caves of the earth or the depths of the sea, you are there.
God of all creation, we sing praises to your name. We stand jubilant before your glory, power, and beauty.
God of certainty, God of truth, our confidence is in you and in you alone.
Yet we live in a fallen world and we are an imperfect people.
Our world is filled with pain and alienation.
We know of illness when body or mind is failing and the loneliness of spirit it brings.
We know of separation from parent or child, from friend or neighbor, and the emptiness of life experience.
We know of strangeness in new communities and in changing communities, and the longing it brings.
We know of alienation caused by unemployment or poverty or discrimination, and the pain it brings.
We have become strangers to our relatives and foreigners to our own families.
How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Let our cry for help come to you.
I am a God nearby, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? I am the Lord your God. I have called you out from the peoples, and you shall be holy to me.
We declare your praise, the one who called us out of darkness into your wonderful light. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to you.
To that time of worship where we bring our prayer concerns and our praise reports. We are so grateful to see Hetty in church. She was in the hospital this week, and here she is, and we're delighted that she's here. We want to remember those who have been on our prayer list: Karen, who's a friend of Kathleen, Ed, Dean, Barbara and Kevin, Fran, Kate, and the people of Ukraine. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we are so grateful that we could come today and rejoice. Rejoice that Hetty is doing so much better. Rejoice in our friendship with each other. Rejoice in your love for us. We bring before you those who have been named, those who are struggling, those who are dealing with chronic illness and pain. And we ask, O Lord, that your grace will be sufficient in all. We ask that you would bless all the dads today, that you would grant to them your wisdom as they raise their families. We remember the fathers who are no longer with us and who we name in our memory. We are so grateful for their lives. We ask all these mercies in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Life beckons, peace holds out its arms. Begin your week knowing that you are walking straight into the embrace of God. Amen.